last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast. Previously on Tavern Tales, the Stonehammers have helped the Gnomish clan rebuild and gotten much-needed guidance on where to go next. With their owlbear eggs in safekeeping, they have finally reached the Stone Tooth.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Hi, I'm Kyle. Welcome to Tavern Tales. We'll get right into it today. I'm the Dungeon Master and host. Welcome to the game. I have four great players sitting around me today. I am short one Chelsea, who is not able to make it. So who do I have at the table?
Allison, and I'm playing Foggy, who is a dwarf, just like everybody else. And he's a barbarian.
Hi, I'm Marie Claire, and I'm playing Melusine, the fabulous bard.
Hello, I am Aaron. I'm playing Oscar Stonehammer, the rogue.
Hello, I am Paige, and I am playing Elda Stonehammer, the dwarf paladin.
Excellent. I know the last two of you had the last name of Stonehammer. Is that relevant at all? The two of you related?
Oscar is our cousin.
Excellent. Our cousin. So you and Tessikar,
yes.
Who's not here,
correct,
but will be played by myself, I guess.
Can you do that lovely
justice.
Voice?
You and Oscar are cousins. Are you connected at all with any of the other players at the table?
They are also cousins.
Oh, really? What's your character's last name?
Stonehammer.
Oh, okay. And?
Stonehammer?
Oh, not my cousin.
Yeah, we don't have the question mark on the end.
Stonehammer?
Still a question mark.
Stonehammer?
Oh, my goodness.
Stonehammer.
So you two have last names?
Yeah, we have last names.
I mean, I go by a stage name, so...
What's your character's stage name?
Melusine.
That's not a stage
That's
name.
That's your first name.
That's literally your character's
but
name.
But it's like Madonna, right?
But that's
Madonna
not her first
not her name.
What about Drake? He goes by Drake.
So you're saying you have a mononym?
Yes.
Like Cher?
Yeah. The name I go by on stage is also happens to be my first name. Yeah?
Yeah. Great.
I'm going to start the game.
I get that.
I love it.
And there it was, the words from To Get in the Black's Rhyme, the Stone Tooth, stark against the blue sky of summer, standing 1,600 feet above the forest floor, something between a mountain and a hill, the granite resembling a sharp incisor. Melusine, upon seeing the Stone Tooth, exclaimed,
"Wow, how do you floss it?"
And now let us peek into the adventure itself, as five dwarves huddle amongst pines just off a worn path that has led them to this point. The path continues on, switchbacking back and forth to a point up the hill where it runs left into a deep cleft in the hillside. The sun shines down, there's the sound of a woodpecker banging on a tree nearby. Make a perception check. Who has beat a 15?
I have a 15.
Excellent.
As do I.
I.
Nope. Not me.
Hey, that's too bad. And?
Oh, I said I. Me.
Oh. Yeah, I know that you're you.
What did you positive the yes.
What did you
I.
get?
I got a natural 20.
Excellent. Those are always to be celebrated and cheered.
Yay!
Wonderful job at rolling a die.
Thank you.
Oscar, you are doing something with Tessikar right now that's distracted you. What is that thing you're doing with Tessikar?
We are playing with my dice set. We're playing Liar's Dice.
Liar's Dice? How does that work?
So basically, you roll a bunch of dice, and based on the numbers and how many dice you have, you cover them up, and you say, under my cup, I have 2 sixes. And then someone has to go higher and higher until you say they're a liar.
Right.
Right? Kind of like in Dead Man's Chest, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Tessikar is in the midst of saying, under this cup, I have 7 dice!
Liar.
You're right, I only have 2. And that has distracted the both of you, because for the...
Was that Tessikar's voice?
I don't know.
It is tonight. Yeah.
Tessikar's not here, I'll make him sound wherever I want.
Okay. It's a little bullwinkly.
For the 3 that have succeeded, you note the woodpecker has stopped. And upon closer reflection, note that a lot of the sounds of the forest has grown still back the way in which you came towards the stone tooth. For you, Eldeth, with your natural 20, you hear a twig break maybe 100 yards to the south and west of you, as though something is moving through the forest.
Guys, come a little bit closer. I have something to tell you.
Is that not how the game is played?
No. It's not. You did it wrong.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Foggy.
Yeah?
Did you hear that twig?
No. What twig? There's a lot of twigs. It's a forest.
Shh. You have to talk quiet.
Okay. Why?
I think there's someone out there. Do you think we should go look?
Oh, where?
There is a twig breaking sound a little bit to the south, maybe west.
Couldn't it just be an animal?
Oh, I don't think it was. Haven't you noticed since we got here that all of the animal sounds have faded away?
I did notice that, but I was hoping it was just me.
I don't think so.
Maybe we should check it out.
Okay, let's go very quietly.
Okay.
Shh.
This conversation between the two has not gone unnoticed by the other party members.
Where are you guys going?
You heard exactly what they were planning to do.
Oh. Do you want me to sing it away?
No. We got sneak attack.
Yeah.
Okay. I could sing a song of sneaking.
That doesn't sound very...
Why don't you sing it in your head?
Ooh, yes.
I can do that.
No, not no humming either. Yeah.
I'm going to follow along, though, behind Foggy.
And off we go to the southwest. Sorry.
What is happening with Tessikar and Oscar?
We're going to follow along.
Okay. You tuned into what they were saying?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know if Tessikar did. No one spoke to Tessikar, tapped him on the shoulder, or told him to be quiet. He's just going to stay where he is. So, you move south. How would you like to move south?
Cautiously and quietly.
Everyone make a stealth check.
Oh, I'm not stealthy. No. I'm definitely humming slightly.
I'm doing okay.
14.
Got a 10.
20.
I think I might have fallen. I got a 7.
Eldeth does start to trip, but Oscar is there behind to catch you by the shoulders before you make a loud crash into the ground. And Melusine begins to hum again. And how does Fagram quietly reprimand Melusine for...
Cross my hand across my neck like a cut it.
Do that across her neck?
My neck.
Oh, okay.
That would be extra awkward if it did against her neck. It's like, I'm going to cut your throat right now. little extreme for humming.
I don't know if that's all that extreme. I think that might be the way to go with Melusine. Like,
I'm going
right
to try this first.
Throat.
I'm going to try this first. I'm just going to go across my neck without the sound effect.
I would think that your character is not oblivious to
So it's like,
they can't hear that, but that's what's happening. And I nod furiously as she's come to that conclusion.
Excellent. You continue to make your way south, make a perception check. If you've gotten under 10, you see 2 large shapes moving through the woods, but you don't know what they are along the path that you came by. You are stealthily secreted away in amongst the pines, the thick foliage of those coniferous pine needles obfuscating and hiding your presence, as anyone who has beaten a 15, which I do believe there's a couple, just Eldeth. Eldeth, you do see 2 large orcs making their way towards the stone tooth up along the path you had just come from.
Okay, I'm going to talk very quietly. Do you see those 2 blobs?
Yes.
They're giant orcs, and they're going up the path we just came down. What do we do?
I could sing them a song.
I could try to talk to them.
Yeah, let's try to talk to them.
Well, I guess orcs did like you before.
Yeah.
We could try that where she approaches them, but we flank them behind, come behind them.
Yeah, and sneak let's them. Do that.
Okay, but we can't hurt them, okay?
Sure. And then I turn to everybody else and I wink, like a really obvious wink. Like, sure.
Wink.
I totally that, Eldeth.
Foggy.
What if they hurt? What if they're hurting you? We have to stop them.
Yeah.
Well, we can try to solve it without violence first.
Well, yeah. So, but we'll just be prepared in the woods with violence.
Yeah, we'll try your way first and then we'll end up doing our way second.
Only as a last resort, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
During this time, the orcs have passed.
Oh, no. We didn't talk that long.
Are you kidding me?
Sorry.
Totally. Absolutely.
It takes a while to make a plan.
It does, apparently. Especially when you're family.
Yeah.
With that, the orcs pass by. Marie Claire, would you describe one of the orcs for me?
Sure. He is about 6'5" and mottled gray, greeny kind of complexion with just one giant tooth sticking out from his mouth. And he's got like a massive head cold. So he's got snot that he's rubbed across his forehead and it's like sticking from like down from his nose.
Yummy.
Allison, draw a card.
Ooh. A rapier.
He's carrying a rapier.
Okay. That's kind of small for him, but okay. Whatever floats his boat.
Maybe he likes small.
Ooh, yay.
In fact, he's got two of them. And he also has a ranged weapon as well. I'm going to say he's got a large crossbow slung across his back. Aaron, describe the other orc for me.
So his skin is more black than anything. He's wearing a necklace of bones and his hair is in like an orc bun with another bone going through it.
What color is his hair?
Red.
With an orc bun. Paige, draw a card.
Flail.
He's carrying a flail. It is matted with the hair and skin, flesh of many enemies. Does not look to have been washed ever. It is wrapped in a thick leather thong around the bottom of it to give him ample grip. It is very dangerous looking. And he also has a great club slung across his back. There's your two orcs. They have passed you and did not notice these dwarves hiding in the pine trees.
So do we want to stay hidden or should I go and try and talk to them?
Do we need to like enter through the orc cave?
They're not in the cave.
Like, how are we getting to the under mountain?
Well,
the mine.
I don't know
the place.
We know yet.
I think we need to go investigate the Stone Tooth, which is where they are going.
And that's where they're going, clearly.
I think we should just follow them, and then if they notice us, we'll talk our way out of it. That usually works for me.
But if they don't know about you, I might be less threatening right off the bat. And then if they do something, we can sneak attack.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with our original plan.
Yeah, we'll just follow.
The orcs are grumbling back and forth to each other in a low volume that you can't quite make out what they are saying, Eldeth, unless you choose to move closer and try to overhear their conversation.
Yeah, I think she tries to go a little bit forward and
then you're going to need to make a new stealth check.
Uh-oh.
And this might be quite difficult.
Where's Tessa?
I was going to say, can you do guidance for
can
her?
Can you just yell guidance at random points of the game?
Sadly. Okay. Tessikar's stopped offering guidance to Eldeth.
Right.
Right.
Because she keeps on refusing.
She keeps refusing.
Family drama.
12.
You have snuck up on these two orcs as they proceed towards this path that's going back and forth across one side of the Stone Tooth Hill. And one of them is saying, "Not coming back with much meat. Boss is going to be mad." And the other guy says, "Oh, you know, sometimes that happens. We were on guard duty, supposed to scout the area for hostiles." And that is the conversation bit that you've managed to overhear.
Okay. With hearing that, Eldeth is... She tries to think she can make the best of every situation and that everybody has a good bone in their body. Huh. Get it?
No.
You'll get it. So she kind of stumbles out of the bush and is like, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Orcs."
Yes. Betty Boop style, right?
She has a thing for orcs.
Oh, yeah.
Melusine like looks towards Foggy and I'm like, does Eldeth have a kinky attraction to orcs?
Yeah, I thought they just liked her, but maybe
roll initiative.
Back. Oh.
I said it in Orcish.
Foggy got 5?
9.
15.
I got 9.
Oscar, you're first to act.
How far away am I from them?
You are 45 to 60 feet away from them. What would you like to do?
I'll just move up the maximum amount I can move up and then find another hiding spot sneakily.
Okay. Well, if you'd like an offer, you have your standard move. You have your move action, right? Which is 25 feet. Your class is a rogue. And so you have special things that you as a rogue can do with your bonus action.
I can dash.
Right. If you would like, you may make your move action, take a bonus action to dash another maximum of 25 feet, which would bring you within close of these two orcs, attacking from stealth before the orcs have a chance to go, because they, even though they've rolled initiative, you're going before both of them. Means what? As you are an assassin, correct?
So I get crit damage?
But you're putting the cart before the horse. As an assassin, I believe that you get the opportunity to roll with advantage because they have not had an opportunity to act this turn.
Yes, so I do sneak attack.
Right? Well, you'll always do sneak attack, right?
Yeah.
So you roll with advantage because they haven't had an opportunity to act yet.
Okay, let's do that then.
All right. What are you going to do to these orcs?
I'm going to pull out my rapier. And I'm going to use my move action and then my bonus action to dash and attack the grayish green one. I'm going to try and go for the one leg. Try and cut him down.
Well, he does have two legs.
Go for one. I'll go for his left leg. I'll cut him down.
Sure. You hamstring him, or are you going to cut the Achilles? Or are you going to stab him just brutally in the quadricep?
Let's go for the Achilles.
Oh, okay. Great. Make your attack with advantage.
22.
That is definitely a hit. And as a result, you automatically crit on this attack. So your rapier normally does 1d8 of damage?
Yes, it does.
So you will be and your sneak attack does 3d6 damage?
3d6, yeah.
So you will now be rolling 2d8 and 6d6.
Oh my good lord. I'm going to need some more d6.
While Aaron does math, it is the orc with the great club's turn. Seeing his compatriot suddenly stabbed by a dwarf from nowhere, he pulls his great club from his back and lays it down on the top of the skull of Oscar. Does a 15 beat your armor class?
Just barely.
Ooh, what's your armor class?
14.
Oh, okay. So a 10 will do it on these guys with their great clubs. Two-handed, pulls it from his back, brings it to bear straight down upon your skull, doing 9 damage to you. That was his turn, and his words are in Orcish that is only understood by Eldeth. He says, "The fuck?"
I've got some damage for you.
Now, it is the other orc's turn. Actually, how much damage did you do?
34.
It is his turn. He gurgles twice and dies. Somehow, your stab to his Achilles, which is like the most sneak attacky of ways to attack a guy.
Yeah, because then he can't move anymore.
You killed him with one blow to his Achilles.
That's better this way. So as I dig into his Achilles with my rapier, I travel up the back of his leg, catching all the like the main arteries and blood vessels, and then it gets kind of stuck in near his upper thigh gluteus area, and then I have to kind of push off to get my rapier out, and he just bleeds out that way.
Yeah, I think he dies. Yeah, the white bone of his tibia and his femur are both showing as he crumples over. Your trousers are completely covered in blood. A horrible amount of blood.
Why am I always getting covered in stuff?
Well,
and like every campaign, I'm always covered in like goop or testes or blood.
I'm just describing the reaction of what happens because all of his blood let out. Where is it going to go except right in your...
That is true.
...lower region. Definitely looks like you wet yourself with blood. And... That was the orc's action. He gurgles twice and dies. Drops his beautiful rapier to the ground, and it skitters and rolls away from you. Moving us to Melusine's turn.
I'm going to cast Vicious Mockery on the orc that is still standing.
Are you going to move forward first, or are you...
I'll move my move forward.
Requisite 25 feet. Okay.
Yep. I'm going to say we all know that redheads have no souls.
Excuse me? Back that train just right up.
Roll damage on Fogrim as well.
Yeah, the fuck?
You viciously mock Fogrim.
Giant red mohawk. Did you miss it?
You take 6 self-esteem damage.
No, I'm just like raging now before I even get to do my barbarian rage. It's just now it's on. Automatic.
They have to succeed on a wisdom saving throw. You know I'm not talking about you.
He has succeeded.
Oh, well
he knows that you were talking about Fogrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that didn't work.
You say that and he points at Fogrim and shrugs.
And shrugs. Shit. That didn't work.
All right, Eldeth, what do you want to do?
I spend the next round apologizing to Fogrim.
Good.
With my verbal action. I really didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
I thought we were friends.
Our friends.
This entire time, Eldeth has pretty much been having an anxiety attack because she had been promised by her family she would have the opportunity to try and talk to these orcs. And all she was able to get out before one of her cousins sneak attacked them was, "Ooh, hello." So she's freaking out because one's dead, and that is against everything she believes in, and she didn't even have the opportunity. She's like,
I mean, you do also have cure, so you could go cure the wounds and he would not be dead.
With all of that happening, she's kind of like, this isn't how it's supposed to happen. And then she says in orcish to the one that's still alive, please forgive my friends. They didn't know what they were doing. Are you okay?
All right, make a persuasion check.
Natural 20.
What is that total then on your persuasion?
25.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, man.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You have successfully persuaded him. Fogrim, it's your turn.
So I'm going to go in full on rage.
Okay.
Barbarian rage.
Yeah.
Time.
What do you do to anger yourself? I mean, you're probably already angry. Let's be
honest. I'm angry, but I'm still 45 feet away. So I'm going to run as fast as I can. I'll rage. Well, I'm really angrily running.
So you do a double move. So you're right in the face of the
double
move. You're right in the face. You want to say anything?
Then I'm going to like puff myself up and I'm going to pull up my great war pick because that's coming next.
Yeah.
And just have that out and just be like, "Arr!" with my rage face and just like holding it in front of me and just like looking super fierce.
Are your eyes like wide open rage face or are they really squinty?
Full on crazed, wide eyed. If I was an animal, I'd be foaming at the mouth, but I'm not.
Are your nostrils flared?
Mm-hmm.
And your mouth open?
Yeah.
Of course, your character's being a redhead. Is his face now all mottled with red? The blush that creeps up across the face of those with that sort of coloring?
It's almost the same color as my hair, but not as much, but almost.
That was Fogrim's turn. We are now back to the top of the round for Oscar.
Well.
You have no idea what Eldeth said.
Well, that's right, because you said it in Orcish.
And of course, it really sounded like she was being insulting, because that's the proper way to speak politely in Orcish.
Well, I guess I'm just going to attack the other one there.
Okay. Thankfully, you're benefited because Fogrim is standing right there, so you may do a sneak attack.
Yay.
I should have done Sanctuary on him.
Didn't you?
On the orc?
Yeah.
I thought about it after.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to spend a white gem and have cast Sanctuary on that.
Oh, my God. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. You're spending a white gem to halt all flow of the story as someone within the bar corrects the storyteller.
Excuse me. That did not happen.
Yes. I'm sorry. What?
That didn't happen.
Please, sir, put the puppet down and speak with your own voice.
This is my voice.
All right, well, you've been a distraction enough as it is, so please do tell.
When Eldeth was flirting with Orc, because that's what's happening.
Indeed.
She actually secretly cast Sanctuary on him so nobody could hurt him. And keep their promise. Cookie.
Please, sir, you don't need to make the puppet eat a cookie now. Well, if that's how you remember it, I don't recall Oscar killing the orc with one blow, so perhaps, in fact, it is the case that Sanctuary was cast by Eldeth. What were the words that she says to cast that spell again? No, now be in character, please. Oh.
No, say it like Grover.
Now, do you want it with her saying it in Orcish because she was trying to hide from her?
No, she has to cast the spell with the proper verbal component.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is not even, it's magic words. I mean, if you recall your previous character, your tiefling never once said real words.
That's true.
Usually it was like a Muslim call to prayer.
That is now what you're getting. You're welcome.
It's too long. I mean, that's more than 6 seconds.
You can probably cut some of it.
I will gladly accept that this is how you cast Sanctuary as a devotee of ill matter. Now, I will remind you, though, that you are casting divine spells, not arcane spells. Divine spells are usually some sort of plea to your god, ill matter, even though Sanctuary, of course, is just a quiet screaming. Other ones might be more of a plea.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, Sanctuary is a tranquil mindset.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Tell me, what does Sanctuary do?
You ward a creature within range against attack. Until the spell ends, any creature who targets the warded creature with an attack or a harmful spell must first make a wisdom saving throw.
All right. Make a wisdom saving throw.
So 9.
That is not enough, because I'm almost positive that the difficulty for Eldeth is 8 plus 2 plus 3.
Ah, 13.
So yes, not enough.
Do I still take the damage, though, from the other one?
Oh yeah, you don't have Sanctuary cast on you.
But if I didn't attack him, because she stopped my attack.
No, she didn't stop your attack on the first orc. She stopped your attack on the second orc just now.
Oh. Okay,
the black one.
You already killed one.
There was no way she could have stopped that. Instead of making a persuasion check on her turn, she made a persuasion check and cast Sanctuary at the cost of a white gem. I will now return to my story.
Okay.
Does anything happen to me because I failed on Sanctuary?
No. It's just you either have to choose a new target or you lose your attack.
Since there's no other target, you hold your rapier menacingly. And now it is the orc's turn. And he looks at you and he nods his head and he says in orcish, "Yes, of course, I will spare you. You look delightful." And in orcish, there's a great deal of horrible aphorisms that come with that, which I will not pass on over the air, as I have done that enough in a previous episode. And then he brings his great club down on the head of Oscar.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were thinking.
I hit last time.
Because he can still hurt us.
I hit, by the way, on the last one. Just, I hit.
Did you roll a natural 20?
I was a natural 19.
Nonetheless, great club down upon the head of Oscar. I have rolled a natural 18, so the great club does...
I'll heal you.
9 points of damage.
How much do you have left? Are you okay?
At a nice, wholesome 5.
Ooh. Don't let him get hit again.
Now, Sanctuary, is that still up?
Its duration is 1 minute.
Right, but if the person who has Sanctuary cast upon them does violence, does the spell continue to remain?
It ends.
So Sanctuary ceases around this orc, who is thankful that you made sure that your cousin over there did not kill him. It gives ample opportunity to Eldeth now to do something else.
So I think she tries to plea with the orc one last time to leave her and her friends alone, or perhaps even join them and help them. And if that doesn't go well, she tries to put him to sleep.
You rolled a natural 20 on your last check, mm-hmm. and you convinced him to spare you. Mm-hmm. That was all you were able to get from that brief interaction and rejoinder with him. He was still really interested in killing your 4 companions. Mm-hmm. He's still perfectly fine with keeping you alive and taking you back to his orcish stronghold to have his way with you after he's killed the other 4.
I think Eldith starts to realize that she's done what she can under her oath to try and redeem these orcs and try to give them an opportunity. And after sparing his life and seeing what he's done in return to one of her family members, that's kind of her last straw. She uses Divine Smite with her club.
You're at that like 25 foot, just at the edge. It's going to take every single step that you can make within a course of a single round to get right up into his face.
Okay.
Next to Fogrim, beside Oscar.
So I take every stride I can to get up and close.
Oh yeah, no, I meant you rush up and go ahead, roll your attack.
17.
17 is lots, ample to hit this orc whose armor was not described, but he is wearing hide armor, and his armor class is but a 13, so you definitely hit.
Okay, so I'm going to add Divine Smite.
You're now going to hit him with your club. What does your club do for damage?
1d4.
1d4 plus your strength bonus, which is
4.
And then you're going to add Smite to that.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing Smite, you're going to expend one of your spell slots
mm-hmm.
that you have available to you. Then you'll get to add those extra dice for the spell slot you
expended. Okay, so do this one first.
You do it all together.
18.
You kill him. Tell me how that happens.
I have tears falling down my face as I run towards him, and I bring my club up to the left side of me. I leap as high as I can, which is probably just like below his shoulder, and I take it to the side of him, and I swing like a bat all the way across with so much fury, and you see his blood fly out of him as it mixes with my tears, and it's a very unfortunate scene.
He falls limply to the ground backwards, away from both you, Fogrim, and Oscar, topples heavily to the path, and a puff of dust pops up from where he lands, blood trickling from his face, and he dies. You're really angry, Fogrim.
I am really angry, because I didn't get to do anything. So I was wondering if I can use my rage to angrily tie up the other, because she cured the other one.
Mm-mm.
No, it didn't make, nope. Didn't take.
Just beat up their corpses. It's
can
cool.
I kick him?
Yeah.
I'm going to kick him.
Okay.
Kick both of them. I'm going to run up and kick the black one, and then I'm going to run over and kick the gray one.
They're not very far apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily kick both, stomp down on both of them at the same time, even. They're that close.
No, I think I'm going to kick them individually.
Great. Okay.
Kick and then kick. As that happens, Elda screams, "No, Foggy! We've done enough!"
And I just turn at her and I just growl, and then I go back to kicking.
When you kick again, you hear a loud clank from something in a bag that this orc was carrying.
Ooh.
Hey, Will. You want to come over here?
Mm. What's in the bag? What's in the bag?
At the start of this adventure, my son, who is 6 and a half and is one of the stars of Tavern Tales Jr., has written a bunch of items that somehow or other these orcs were carrying and were then dispersed now to these 5 players. So you want to come over here and tell them what they got?
Marie Claire got magical bread.
What makes it magical?
Because it can fly. And whenever you let it go, it just flies above your head.
Okay.
Aaron gets 500 spells of raise from the dead.
How about one?
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely, that number is not
accurate. Oh, come on.
Yes, no, fine. That number is accurate, but it will raise 500 people one time from the dead.
Pet cemetery, anyone?
Mass rose.
Paige gets 5,500 flying pigs that are magical.
But they're like really tiny.
No, like you can ride them, right?
They're very big.
Where were they?
Can I call them with like a magical instrument and it comes flying in like Pegasus?
Pegasus.
Pegasus.
They're called Pegasus.
Allison, what did she get?
Allison gets a bucket of bards.
Of barbarians.
Barbarians. I don't want bards.
Hey.
A bucket of them? A bucket. You have the whole band.
They'd all
then.
Be singing different songs at the same time. It would eventually harmonize.
It'd be terrible.
Everything is magical.
Thanks for that addition, Will. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. 50. Furthermore, there are 3 weapons, including Ooh. A large crossbow, laying on the ground. They are all in worn condition, but they are available if anyone would like them. Thankfully, the game is working really wonderfully with these new cards that I've gotten from Cardamajigs, the deck of many things. This particular deck is the deck of many weapons and has all of the basic and martial weapons from the game laid out in beautiful cards that, hey, if you don't know what your NPC is carrying, just draw a random card.
Cool.
This brief announcement was not paid for by Cardamajigs at all. I just really like their cards.
I'll probably take that rapier.
No, I call the flail. I call it.
Why did you say no?
Because I thought I wanted to say it first and he jumped on it. Like, no, I get to pick first.
You both stoop down to pick up your weapons.
There's no conflict.
I pick up mine and Foggy says no and picks up the flame.
Are we?
Please hand these back after you write down the stats for your weapons. There is also one remaining great club.
Are we big enough?
I can use that.
Can I use that as a paladin?
If you'd like to.
Yeah, it has a nail sticking out of it.
Doesn't seem like Eldeth style, though.
You don't know what she'd use for a nail.
She's really weirdly attracted to orcs. It's really freaking me out.
She likes a strong man.
There is also a large crossbow.
Cool. Foggy can use that.
I'll take the crossbow if no one else wants it.
How many weapons does Fargrim have now?
Well, that would make my fourth one.
So what are you carrying for weapons already?
A great war pick, a hand axe, a flail. A crossbow would be nice because it's ranged.
This heavy crossbow is 18 pounds all on its own. And now while Fargrim is an extremely well-hung gentleman for muscles...
And in other areas.
Yeah, that's not been defined yet. I mean, I'll gladly let you roll a d4.
Okay, totally worth it.
For how many inches?
Yeah.
D6.
No, it's a d4. You're a dwarf.
D20.
Yeah. Roll a 1.
3.
Yeah, so Fargrim is 3 inches around.
Shaped like a tuna can.
It's all about the girth.
Well, I don't really need to get into length. It's not that type of show. Here is
the
heavy crossbow. You may take that. You may roll a d20 to determine how many crossbow bolts that orc had on him.
19.
Holy moly, 19.
He
so
was loaded.
Make sure he was a little drunk, it's true. Make sure you keep track of the bolts you fire. Aaron, roll 2d10.
5 and a 4.
So he had 9 silver pieces between the two of them on them. With that, you also happen to find these crazy items. The loud clank that you heard, Fargrim, when you kicked that orc, came from the bucket of the barbarian.
Yay!
It is a magical bucket that anything placed or poured into the bucket turns into a form of alcohol.
Oh,
yeah.
And it is called the bucket of the barbarian because usually they pee in the bucket.
Awesome.
What does it turn into? Is it random?
Well, it's always the same Coors Light beer.
Oh, but what if I put something different in it? Then it won't be Coors Light anymore. Is that the idea?
Well, you wouldn't know that yet. I'll gladly roll off with you on it. So it can either always be Coors Light, D20, Coors Light, or it'll be my choice.
Well, I was thinking whatever you put in it should something different.
Yeah, if you win, that's up. That'll be good. If you win, the different thing gets to be chosen by the players. But if you win, the different thing is chosen by me.
Oh. Okay. Wait. You said no,
if I win.
Oh. It's totally worth it. Totally worth it.
All right, Ro, let's do it.
No!
19.
Can I use a gem?
You should have used a gem beforehand.
No!
It's always before you roll.
But why can't I change the story? This is worth changing the whole story for.
Wow.
You know what? If the players want to decide, you can give me the white gem.
Yeah.
We don't even need to do the whole story being rewritten thing. Yeah, you have won that dice roll.
I just want to see what comes out of the bucket. Gem. That's all I want.
For strawberry schnapps.
So many parties are going to be had. It's totally worth it.
That was the best reclamation of a white gem I've ever gotten. Because it literally costs me nothing. I don't have to be creative now. It's all on you guys.
That's what we're here for.
Now, yes, it is a scroll of Raise the Dead. 500 bodies.
I can't wait.
It has a gigantic range.
I mean, that's like turning people into zombies and
stuff,
right?
I was just
going
to say, that's starting the zombie apocalypse. No.
Oh.
No. It's raise a person from the dead, but it'll raise all 500. It'll raise 500 out to a huge range. So it's never been used or cast because you don't know the ramifications of casting that. If you go into the redoubt of Dirgeddon the Black, you might raise 500 dwarves and orcs and troglodytes and other things. And let me tell you, that would probably end the adventure right there. It won't. You can't just do it on one. It has to be 500.
So basically you're telling me if I get bored of playing one night, I can just use this scroll.
You're carrying around a nuclear Absolutely. Bomb and in your
pocket?
And then
what'll happen is you'll come and sit over here and I'll go sit over there.
Oh, yeah, because that'd go well.
Hey, we'd get to hear your voice more often.
Yeah.
Even then, I just kind of motioned to you to say something.
But the scroll, of course, is of inestimable value. You return with this and bring it to a church, they're going to weep with open arms at the receipt of it.
So, ooh, weeping.
There's an outbreak of disease or plague. That's money in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. That's people being saved.
I like the reset everything portion of it.
Yeah.
Restart.
This flying bread.
Didn't Will say earlier it was bagels?
I want it to be bagels.
All right. There is holes in the middle of each slice of bread.
Okay. I love that my son gave me the weirdest one.
I thought mine was pretty weird, but yeah. Yours is pretty weird too.
I don't remember how many slices he said you had. Ridiculous number, 64.
Yes.
Yeah, he said 64.
He loves Minecraft, so I'm assuming it's a whole stack.
Yeah, it's a whole stack of bagels.
A whole stack of bagels or bread with holes in the middle. And it flies, so there's that. But I will also say that you eat a slice of bread as a free action in a turn, and that will give you the ability to dash on bread-like wings as a bonus action that turn.
Can I put 64?
Yes, you've 64 slices. They never go bad. They are the Wonder Bread.
They're Wonder Bread. And are they delicious or kind of stale?
No, they're really not good. They don't taste good at all. You can put toppings on them, though,
and
make sandwiches.
I was hoping for Limbus-type, the flat, pieces of magic bread that elven people give you in
Let's
Lord
be realistic. This
rings.
Is bread that does not go stale or bad.
I know.
It must be Wonder Bread.
You're right.
I mean, even Lembas bread must be Wonder Bread. That's just the description of Lembas bread is the same as Wonder Bread.
Yes.
All right. 500 flying pigs.
It was
5,500 flying pigs.
Big enough to ride. I have an army of pigs.
Pegasi.
So it's being carried by the orcs. And the other ones are kind of fitting in. So I'm going to have to change yours dramatically.
Damn it.
That it is one flying pig with wings.
Pegasus.
You may call it that. It is a teacup-sized pig.
Aww. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
But I love how I say things. Then before I can finish, people are like, what you just said was disappointing. But it will grow to be a full-sized pig because there's no such thing as a teacup pig. That's not real. Don't buy a teacup pig. It'll grow to be a full-sized pig.
True.
It's just a baby pig.
It's just a baby pig. You may name it what you will. It flies. It can be your pet.
Can we call it a Pegasus?
I don't see why not.
We don't need permission. It's happening.
But it can talk.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Who's voicing Pegasus?
What's your pig voice?
No, it can't be.
So please pick one of the other players to voice your Pegasus.
Marie Claire.
Yeah!
She seemed like she wanted to
voice
the Pegasus.
Yeah, she really wanted to do that.
This is the role I've been preparing for my whole life. I am Pegasus.
And it snuffles its way out of the satchel of the poor dead orc. It has a collar, a really beautiful feminine collar. Aaron, can you describe the collar for me?
So it is pink with a golden bell and little blue rhinestones all around it. It's very bedazzled. Actually, one more thing I'm going to add. There's a little tag that has the Pegasus's name on it, whatever it may be.
Allison, what is the name of Pegasus?
Priscilla the Pegasus.
So I haven't gotten to add anything to this yet. Priscilla the Pegasus is a male pig.
Yes! Yes!
And the voice, of course, will change as Priscilla grows up.
After puberty.
With the admonition that at the end of its maturation, when it reaches adulthood, it sounds like whatever your best Elvis Presley voice, pig-like voice is.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, pig-like. Now, what is it like as a child?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's what it says as it climbs out and hops right into Eldeth's arms.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. And raise a glass and toast to the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at badbillyband. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.